Give your mother a big hug right there. I think it's the right time to get a hug. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you may take your seat in the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Happy Mother's Day one more time. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to share the word of God this morning. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for my pastor, Pastor Pascal. And he's my husband and the father of all our children. It's a great privilege and a great honor for me to be walking side by side or behind or whichever way we want to look at it. Hallelujah. Whichever way, I'm blessed to be his wife. Please help me celebrate Pastor Pascal. Amen. Thank you. Amen. And once again, I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the house this morning. Mama Kanye, that was so beautiful. You are such a creative. Wow. Put your hands together for Mama Kanye. My God. My God. I thought you were preaching already. You preached already. I thought that was a sermon already because you took us from when we are little girls and how we take a little shoes and we make a baby of it and we cook up with the soil and then we drink from empty cups. That's so beautiful. So well thought of, Mama. Put your hands together for Mama Kanye one more time. So, so beautiful. Hallelujah. Yeah, and that's what mothers do, I guess. Hallelujah. That's what motherhood is about. I also want to celebrate my mom. She's in the house this morning. Mama Betty. Hallelujah. She's right there at the corner. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed. This morning, I phoned her and then she told me she's coming to church. I was like, hey, mommy, I don't think I'm going to be able to come fetch you. She's like, no, we'll make a plan. And she made a plan. She's here with my sister, but they made a plan. They are here. Please celebrate my mom with me. Amen. And I want to celebrate all my moms. You know yourself. I love you all. Hallelujah. The mothers of Alive Bible Church, I call you my moms. You're my moms. And it's not really about your age for me. Hallelujah. It's the motherness that is in you that I honor. Hallelujah. So when I say you are my mom, don't feel like, but I'm not that old. No, it's really because I honor you as a mother. Hallelujah. I really honor you, mothers of Alive Bible Church. I think you're a great blessing to the ministry and to the work that the Lord has given us to do here. We love you with all our hearts. We honor you. You are honored here. You are celebrated here. Hallelujah. If you don't get honor anywhere else, always run to this church and know that in this church you will be respected. You will be honored. You will be celebrated. One more time, celebrate our moms. Hallelujah. I love you, my moms. Amen. Amen. And I also want to thank everyone who invited a mother, anybody that heeded the call from our pastor to say, invite the mothers to church this coming Mother's Day. I want to thank you for making that effort to invite a mother to the house of God. Some mothers are coming here for the very first time. Hallelujah. And it's because of your invitation. Thank you for going your extra mile and bringing a mom to church this morning. We celebrate you today. Hallelujah. Amen. I always think about myself as somebody who doesn't know much about mothering. But before we get into the sermon, I'm going to share, like Pastor said, a little word. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that you're going to speak to us. You're going to minister into every heart. And that we are going to be changed and we're going to be transformed. Holy Spirit, I know you have a word for me as much as you have a word for our moms, our every person that is here today under the sound of my voice, Lord God. Male and female, you have a word that you want to minister and speak to all of us, oh God. I pray that you will breathe on this word, Holy Spirit. I pray that you will chisel it, you will clothe it, Lord, that you will turn it into a sword that will cut, that will divide, and that you will also turn it into a hammer that will crush every voice of the enemy. Oh, Father God, and that this word also becomes a seed and that every heart here will become a good ground, that this word will be planted on good ground and bear fruit in Jesus' name, and that the fruit will abide. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I submit to you. Have your way, great Lord, that you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, like I was about to say that sometimes I always doubt my abilities to mother. Hallelujah. Mothering is always a sensitive issue for me. Very sensitive. For various reasons. I'm grateful that God has given us an opportunity to be reconciled and to be able to gather together with my mom on a Sunday morning, because it wasn't always the case. Hallelujah. The case was that my mom will be that side, I'll be that side. We'll be doing life this way and that way. Hallelujah. And spiritually, when you think about spiritual covering and spiritual mothers, it hasn't always been a very easy flow for me. Hallelujah. There will always be this and that. So when I think about, I want to wish my spiritual mom and I want to honor my spiritual mother a happy Mother's Day, I always have to think, hey, this one and that one, I'm going to create conflicts here and. Hallelujah. So mothering has always been a challenge for me, and I think mothering is a challenge for many mothers, because there's a certain expectation of perfection on mothers. Hallelujah. There's a certain expectation that you're a mom, you should know what to do. You're a mom, you should have it under control. Hallelujah. And so it's always a bit of a mothers, am I doing a good job? Do I have mothers in the house this morning? Am I ever going to do a good job being a mom? Mothering is not an easy thing. Hallelujah. It's not supposed to be this hard, but it is. And Pastor touched on it when he spoke to us about the beginning and the fall and how we were conceived and all of those things that we inherited from our wombs. Hallelujah. So it's supposed to be. And I think that's where the pressure is for mothers, is that this thing is supposed to be easy. Why am I failing being a mom? This thing is supposed to be easy. Why does it look like I'm not just getting it together? Hallelujah. So it's always sensitive. And I've learned through the years to appreciate the work, the efforts, the strength, the journey of what my mother went through as she raised me. Because as she was bringing me up as a daughter, I saw so many imperfections. They were illuminated for me. Her weaknesses, her inadequacies were always highlighted. So when I studied, I wish my mother was like this. I wish she did that. I wish she showed up like this for me. I wish she presented me like this. So I spent most, a better part of my life consumed with the things that my mother could not be for me. Little did I know that I'm going to be a mother too. Little did I know that I will have others after me also who will wish this and that. Who wish that somehow could I, if I had that one as my mother. Ha! Little did I know. But I've learned to appreciate that, my goodness, she did the best she could. My mother did the best she could. Given the circumstances, given the challenges, I don't know if I had the reality that my mother went through, if I would be standing today. I don't know. My mother had to put up with so many things. And from my end, from my view, it looked like she's failing. Because I'm little. She's up here on top. Looking imperfect, looking naked, looking like she's weak, and I'm down here thinking, this mother, I wish she did this mother, that. So my view was only limited to only what I could see. My height, I had not risen high enough to know what she's going through. I did not know the battles she had to fight. So over the years, I've come to appreciate, this mother of mine did the best she could. Hallelujah. She did the best she could. Maybe I could have melted given the circumstance she was in. Maybe I could have lost heart given the things she had to go through. Maybe I could have given up. Maybe I could have killed all my children. But she didn't. And so, even you now, considering yourself right now, society and life and people's expectation are buckling you down to make you feel very inadequate as a mother. And it's not because they can help it. It's the agenda of the devil from the very onset. Because you carry the seed that will crush his head. So he's intimidated by that seed. And sometimes you are so consumed with the seed being a child. Meanwhile, sometimes that seed is purpose. It's not babies only, natural babies by biology. No, that seed is purpose that revolutionizes a community, that will change a society, that will change a nation. So the battle has always been there. You are so consumed with pregnancy, trying to preserve a baby. No, he is seeing more than babies, natural babies. And so he will buckle you down and show you your faults. He starts showing you your mother's fault. And before you know it, you own those faults as your own fault. Because you see the things I wish my mother was, I'm becoming. Her weaknesses are becoming my very weaknesses. Her absence is becoming my very absence. You know, you're asking yourself, how? I thought I would do a better job. I thought I would be a better mother. I thought I would be more present. I thought I would pray more for them. I thought I would do homeworks with them. I thought I'd do better than my mother. Because I thought she's a failure. I thought my mother failed. So I will show her how it's done. God has given me a chance. So the fight has always been there. It's about the seed. It's about the seed. I want to share a word with us that says three reasons why we must honor our mother. Three reasons why we must honor our mother. Because our mothers go through a lot. Hallelujah. And usually when they are going through those many things they are going through, so we don't have an opportunity to see it. Some of you are sitting here, you are bitter. Some of you are sitting here, you are thinking, what a mother. What a loser of a mother. I wish I was brought up by somebody better. Because my mother was a drunkard. I wish I was brought up by somebody better. Because how could I be so abused? What a mother. No. Your mother went through. And your mother is going through a lot. And sometimes it's not about the people that are mistreating her. It's a battle within. You see, the problem with your mother is that she's fighting a fight inside. You are thinking everybody loves my mother. No! You're thinking, mommy, it should be enough. It should be enough. Everybody loves you. You are lovable. You do the right thing. No, your mom, even if everybody would give her the best gifts, there are still fights she start fighting on the inside. And those fights, the main purpose of that fight is to silence her for good. That she may not rise. Because God has put a power and a force within mothers, within women that will change nations. And so she must be so consumed with this fight on the inside that she neglects her purpose. And before you know it, you also fall on the same trap. You wanted to do it better. Da-da-da-da-da, better. No, back there. Yeah, there. Our time is not. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor, we thank you, Pastor, for the notes that she. Please put our hands together for Pastor. Grateful for this notes that we are receiving. Genesis 29, verse 32 to 35. It's a very quick read. It's a story of Leah. We want to go there quickly and hear what God says about this woman, Leah. So the Bible says, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm unloved. Yeah. Because Leah thought she's unloved when she gets a man. We'll talk about that some other time. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm unloved and therefore given me this son also. And she conceived, she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three complete sons. Hallelujah. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. She stopped bearing. Hallelujah. So I want to quickly go through the 5 points that Pastor shared with us, and then we will see what God, how God leads us from then. Number one, like Leah, many mothers sacrifice the Lord but usually get very little for nothing. For what they're sacrificing, like Leah. So this is what we are learning about this story. And I just want to quickly run through the scripture so that we can get to what God wants to do with us. Hallelujah. Number two, like Leah, many mothers are used by men who don't love them. Many mothers go through that. Hallelujah. Like Leah, many mothers suffer from diverse insecurities and their womanhood to compensate for it. Hallelujah. Number five, like Leah, many mothers are abused emotionally, physically, verbally, and even sexually by the very men they love. And number five, like Leah, many mothers discover later on that only God can truly understand them and fully fulfill their deepest needs. Hallelujah. So I want to visit the scripture again, but I want us to go through it line by line, if you don't mind, verse by verse. So we're going to go through 29, verse 32 again. It's Genesis, and the Bible says, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked at my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Because of all the things that Leah had gone through, maybe in her upbringing. Leah is a child. This is maybe a little bit of context. There are two women. There are two girls. They are born in the same family. And the one daughter is Rachel. The other daughter is Leah. Leah happens to be the eldest daughter. And Rachel happens to be the second daughter, the little one. And then while Jacob is running away from the brother, he finally meets this girl. And, you know, in the process of things, he decides, I'm going to work 7 years. I love this girl. I'm going to marry her. And then the father agrees that, yeah, that's going to be the story. We're going to give you this girl after 7 years, and she's going to be your wife. And then 7 years later, the father tricks him, and then he finds himself with Leah, the unloved one. There he is. And then he opened his eyes like, oh my, oh, who's this? This is not who I asked for. Hallelujah. Could it be that the father of Rachel and Leah decided, I'm going to be stuck with this girl? Could it be that the motive was not necessarily that, no, she's the firstborn and all of that? Could it be that I'm embarrassed with this girl, that she doesn't look right? She's not the right description. She, when I go out with her, I'm a little bit ashamed to say she's my daughter. Because her eyes are squint. Because she's not as pretty as Rachel. She doesn't show up like Rachel does. Rachel is out there. Rachel is out there. She's a sheep bearer. Leah is out there in the houses. We don't hear about Leah until she has to be mistakenly with Jacob. And that's the story of us, many girls. That's the story of us, many women. So why am I sharing this with us when there's men here? So that you can appreciate a little bit what these daughters of Zion go through. You see, you're thinking that they are getting rejected because of the men they are married to. Meanwhile, rejection started very tenderly when they were still young. And it's not because of the men or the woman. It's not because of the mother nor the father. No, it's because of the sin or the disobedience. It's because of Genesis 3 from verse 8, I think. There. When God says that, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. There, that's the problem. And so, by virtue of a woman being born, war is declared on her. Your mere existence equals war. So naturally, you've got war against men
There's war against society. There's war against systems. You're fighting many fights. You know what I mean? In some countries, women cannot allow to preach like this. Some men are sitting here in this place and they're feeling, why is a woman preaching to us? Because there's sin there. Christ, Bishop Dag said, did not deliver us from the curse of Adam and Eve, from the curse of the law. It's not the Adamic curse. I could have sent you ladies those books. I hope you are reading them or you read them. So the problem they didn't deal with it. So naturally, when you enter, there's always war. So your war between your fellow sister becomes even worse. And usually it starts from home. It starts with the sister who happens to be your mother, the one who birthed you. The enemy makes it so hard that you everything in you must hate her. Everything in you as a daughter must feel like I have the worst mother on the planet. I can tell you for free right now that 80% of the women sitting here have a problem with their mothers. There's one problem or another with the woman who gave birth to you, daughters. One way or another, there's an issue. With this, she didn't do right. I can't talk to my mother. How many of you have ever heard that? My mother and I don't have a relationship. We've embraced it. We think that that's a cool thing to say. My mother and I don't have a relationship. I can't relate with my mom. There's always an issue between me and my mom. So I'm crying more for my aunt when my aunt passes away. Because my aunt understood me, because my mother didn't understand me. God is helping you. You are fighting the wrong enemy. You are fighting the wrong battle. You are fighting the wrong one. Because the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Where is it? In Ephesians, I get it. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So the enemy knows you will honor your father. Naturally, as black people, Africans, we have an issue with our fathers already, right? Because they are not there, right? Usually we don't know where they are, etc., etc. So the only person we are stuck with is this mother. Right? So the father, it's not even that we are angry at him, we are indifferent. We're okay, we are not okay, it's okay. It's not that we are, yeah. But the one that we are going to be angry with is, first of all, why would you conceive me with that man who will leave me? What type of irresponsibility is that? Why? How could you be so irresponsible that you will unite yourself with this type of human being? You think I don't know. Why would you do it? So all the blames falls on her. So in your mind, you paint her. In your mind, you discredit her. You disqualify her. My mother cannot cook. My mother cannot do this. So you don't tell her in her face, but in your heart, you hate her. In your heart, you resent her. Little do you know, the Bible says that it may be well with you. And he didn't say honor your father only. We do a great job sometimes of honoring our fathers. But he didn't say honor your father only. He said your father and mother equally. Honor them that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So why am I always sick? Why are my things not working? Why am I not passing? Why am I not doing well in school? Why I'm stuck? I feel stuck. Well, how's your relationship with your mother? Some of you sons are sitting here. You are in the same boat. You're sitting here thinking, tell them, pastor, tell these sisters. No. You know yourself. That as for mom, she can't tell me anything. She failed to make a simple decision of choosing the right guy to partner with so she can give birth to me. So basically, according to you, as a guy, as a man, mothers make very poor decisions. I'm a result of a poor decision. I'm a result of a poor choice, but I'm going to turn it around. I get, as a man, you tell yourself, I'll turn this thing around. I'll fix it. I'll correct it. I won't say much to her, but she can't tell me much. Maoti, are you in the house? Brothers, are you in the house? Gentlemen, am I talking to you? You're here, right? Yeah. No, she can't tell me much. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, so let's go to the second part of the verse. I get it. Leah said that the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Why? Because all along, Leah was crying for somebody to give her attention. All along, maybe you are crying for somebody to look. Does anybody see me in my family? Look at me. Look at me. I'm not okay. I'm okay, but I'm not okay. I have two eyes, two mouths, whatever. I look fine. I look whole. But I'm not okay. Is somebody looking? So Leah thought, finally, somebody's going to look at me. And so she says, God has seen my affliction. Why? Because she felt afflicted. I don't think she felt afflicted after getting married to this man. Leah is a woman who was afflicted all through her life. Sidelines. I know what it's like to be afflicted. I'm only pretty now because of Jesus, to be honest with you. People don't believe it. I look pretty now because of Jesus, but all my school life, I was that girl where people say, why not? I'm going to give you to Eucharist. And then the people feel like you've insulted them. The boys will feel you've insulted me to the highest. You're saying my girlfriend is Pumeza, Eucharisti. Yeah, man. How could you say that? Then a fight will start right there. If a boy wanted to insult, thank you, Pastor. If a boy wanted to insult another boy, they would say, Mary Eucharist. My name is Eucharist. Now you can imagine. You are seeing how somebody is beating somebody because they are being associated with you. If there's any prettiness that you see in me, to be honest with you, it's Jesus. Because I know myself. There's nothing pretty about this girl. Nothing, zero. If there is any little bit of prettiness, it's Jesus. And so she grew up being rejected. She grew up, no boy wanted her. And because of that, sometimes luckily, fortunately, blessednessly, Leah had a father. And so sometimes the blessing of having a father is that actually most of the time, all the time, the blessing of having a father is that there are curfews. Nobody's allowed to go until this time, etc., etc. What about a girl who's rejected like this and doesn't have somebody who's telling them about curfews? How do you imagine I broke my virginity before I even turned 20? Because I'm looking for love. I'm looking for acceptance. Because all these boys are telling me I'm the ugliest girl they've ever seen. When I get home, I always tell you about my teeth. You look at them, people say, "Tatakanyani." My family is here. My top. Yeah, so anything you could find to tease was easily Pumeza. So for some validation, Nyana, which guy? This guy looks cute. Yeah, I want them to know I've got this guy now. This ugly girl has this guy now. See why you need to other fathers. As much as you hate them for the curfews, you hate them for telling you, don't come home until this time, that thing is protecting you. Leah had a father. Leah had a father. Leah had a father. And the father says, no, it stops right here. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Put your hands together for Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that she says, the Lord has looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Somebody will love me. Somebody will love me. You are sitting here, you are looking for love. The first place for you to begin to tap into the love of God is to go and forgive your mother. Faith works through love. To love God, to operate in the things of God, you need faith.
Now, if faith is not accompanied with love, it's just, I don't know, it's a motivational speaking. And where there's love, there can never be anger and bitternesses. So, you want God to heal you, to love on you, fix the love situation in your heart towards your mom and towards your dad. Some of you daddies, some of you gems and men, fix that thing so that faith can work. Hallelujah. You are looking for love in the wrong places. Your mother and your father are imperfect people. You yourself as a mom, I think by now you can see. I am so imperfect at this thing. And I think by now you know. So how much more your mother? God is speaking to somebody right here. God is ministering a word in somebody's heart right now. God is touching somebody's heart right now. God is saying to you, fix your heart towards your mother. Fix your heart towards, and otherwise you will not see that it will be well with you. You will not see that thing happen for you. You will not see it. Fix your heart towards your father. Because you will not see those things. If you don't honor them, it won't be well with you. You won't pass. You won't get a job. You won't get married. You won't. There are many things you may never be able to reach unless you fix this thing. Fix your heart. I know she hurt you. I know he hurt you. Yes, I imagine she disappointed you. She blamed you for everything that was going wrong in your life. She blamed you for you being born. You were blamed. Why did I give birth to you? I know a girl. Her mother said to her, I wish it was you who died. Because she had lost the first child. She says, maybe if it was you rather than that one. And I don't think the mother understood what she's saying. Because hurting people hurt people. Understand that the people that are bringing you up and the people that were bringing you up are people who are hurt themselves. You have a chance because you are presented with an opportunity to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Not so that you can brag about it, but so that Jesus can touch your heart and heal you. So that when you are healed, you can go back and strengthen your brethren. You have a chance. You have a chance. That's why you come to church. That's why we worship. Because, hey, look, there's nobody to blame. Nobody to blame. It's no one's fault. Hallelujah. It's not your mother's fault. It's not your father's fault. It's nobody's fault. It needed to happen. So that through that you can come here. Some people are not able to come here because they have a mama shielding them. And they have a dad shielding them. It's comfortable. But you needed a little bit of a penina of circumstances, of aunties, of all of that being hard on you so that you can enter the gates of the house of God. So that you can receive a message. So that God can sort you out. So that when you are sorted, you can go back and strengthen here. I'm living my dream. To see my mom in the house of God this morning is a dream. And I never want to get over there. It's a miracle that I'm preaching and my mother is sitting in the congregation. It's a miracle. There are some things that God has done in my life that I refuse to get over them. I never want to get over it. I never want to get over the fact that we were supposed to be out there in the bushes. Here we are. Never. It can only be Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. My time is gone. Amen. Yo. Number 33. I think that's the only one I'm going to share with us. The Bible says, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm unloved, he has therefore given me the son. And everything that Leah thought God is thinking was true. Everything that Leah thought God thought is true. Because God has heard that I'm unloved is true. First of all, God looked at my affliction. It's true. God has looked at your affliction, daughter. God has looked at your affliction, son. I know we're making it about the woman today, but both men and women go through affliction. And God has looked at your affliction. And sometimes the answer is not packaged in the way that you wanted it to be. Because Leah thought, because God has looked at my affliction, therefore my husband will love me. Meanwhile, she doesn't know what God is doing. Your limited logic will say, because God has looked at my affliction, therefore this man must love me. And when she doesn't, she realizes, okay, no, it's not the one. Tell your neighbor, it's not the one yet. So she looked, she conceived again and bore a son. Said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved. I am unloved. It's true. Do you feel unloved? Can I tell you something? God has heard that you are unloved. It's true. Everything you've felt is not imagination. All those things you've been going through, all those emotions you've been fighting, it's not imagination. It's not. They are not unreal. It's true. Are you feeling rejected? You were rejected. Are you feeling inadequate? You were inadequate. You were made to feel unadequate. Whatever you are feeling is true. Can I tell you the best truth about it is that God himself knows it. And God himself has a plan. Hallelujah. She conceived again, verse 34. She conceived again and bore a son. And this time my husband will become attached to me. Because I'm attached to nobody. I'm alone. I'm standing alone. I'm shaky. There's no balance. I'm unstable. God saw. God still sees. God still sees. You have nothing. What do I have? Who do I have? Who's on my corner? He sees. He sees you have nothing to hold on to. And she thought it's herself. Sometimes it's also, that she could understand the voice of God, but she also didn't understand how her response to God must be. So where she thought this is God, this is me thinking, it was God saying to her. That difference. Where she thought it's her own imagination, her own thought. It was the voice of God. It says, now my husband will become attached to me. And it's true. Your husband is becoming attached to you, even in this moment. Put your hands together for Jesus. We gotta go. Hallelujah. Please take your seats in the house of God. And the Bible says in verse 35, and she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. And this is the answer that God has been looking for. This is the response that God was looking for all along. So Leah has gone. I get it, your past, your experiences, your environment, your upbringing brought you pain, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Then you went from that place to a place of indifference. I feel nothing. I don't love anybody. I don't care. How many of you have experienced that? It's okay. It doesn't matter. It's a transition. Hallelujah. And then she goes to a place where now, She's no longer complaining. She's no longer murmuring. She's no longer blaming. She's no longer pointing fingers. She realizes, I must praise God. Let me praise God. And God wants you to do that. He says, listen, blaming your mom, blaming your auntie, blaming your father, blaming this one and that one, it will get you nowhere. It will give you stuff to do, but you will get nowhere. What he really wants, the bad things that has happened to you, it's not God did them to you, but sometimes he allows it. Hallelujah. The pains that Jesus went through, it's not God who was beating Jesus, but God step aside sometimes and he sees. And it pains his heart, but he, because of a bigger picture, he has to let you go through that. He must. He must let you go through that. Even when Jesus was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? He did. He had to step aside. Because my son, I can't explain everything to you. It hurts me that you are in pain like that. It pains my heart. I'm bleeding inside. I wouldn't want you to suffer like that.
But because there's a bigger picture, I must let you. I'm the great I am. I could lift one finger and all these pains could go. He's the great I am. He could lift one finger and all your troubles could go, but he must let you. He must step aside and just let you. You fall. You're like, I thought I had a rich auntie somewhere. My God, I thought you stand up again, you find your foot on your own. Like, hey, this church thing, does it even work? But somehow you find yourself back in church again. You say, I don't know why I keep going, but I keep going. Because his spirit inside you is refusing to let you stay there. You're asking yourself, why? I don't have food. I don't have, but you keep coming. And you're thinking, this time I'm sure I'm going to have a breakthrough. But he's still looking at you like this. Like, ah, oh God, I thought I had that job. Ah, God, I thought I had that tender. Ah, God, I know you did. God, I even planted a seed towards us. I know you did. Hallelujah. So the bad things that happens to us are not God. Hear me. But sometimes he steps aside. Says, okay, I've got a plan with that. Maybe you gave birth to a child through rape. It's not God. But I must let that baby come. I have a plan. I have a plan. So I must watch it. You don't see it. I'm God. I know it hurts you. God, you know when they violated me and they held me like this? I know. And I'm going to heal you. Just keep showing up. God, when they stretched my hand and they, I know. It was painful. I know. Hallelujah. I heard as we close, and I'm going to hand over to Pastor, the person who wrote the song, "When Peace Like a River." He lost everything. And he made a decision that when I get to God, we'll talk about this. That statement carried me through my life. There are many things that I went through growing up that I thought, this one, we'll talk about it when we get to heaven. And it's amazing that God does not even let me discuss it when we get, he answers prayers right now. There's my beautiful mom. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's my beautiful mom. And she's a preacher. Wow. Hallelujah. She's a prophetess, and I think I have a prophetess anointing from her. Yes. Hallelujah. She's a healer, and I think I have the healing anointing from her. There she is. Because the enemy took advantage. But God had to come in, and he's going to make all things work together. He's turning it around, and it's going to work together. Maybe she might not have been able to heal the people in the way that God wanted her to, but she gave birth to a daughter. And you know what she said to me? She said to me, "Pumi, when I was pregnant with you, I became born again. I don't know how." She says, "For some reason, when I carried you in my womb, I started going to church and I became born again." And I thought that was necessary. I don't know how it all fits in together, but I thought that was necessary. Listen, we're always fighting generational curses, but I am fighting for my generational blessing. And sometimes you don't know. The enemy wanted me to hate my mother, to despise her, to ridicule her so much that I miss out on the generational blessing that is upon her. And God is granting me grace, little by little, little by little. This morning I woke up and I was like, I wish I had a pair of shoes for my mother. And God says, I'm going to make a way because I would like to honor her. I'd like to honor her. I would like to make it better for her. I'm trusting God to give me grace so we can make up for all those years of my ignorance, all those years of my foolishness, all those years of me not knowing. Because it will be well with me. And if she doesn't get to raise the dead because she's given birth to a daughter, the calling of God on her life will raise the daughter, the dead, through mine and many other generations to come. So it's not, all is not lost. All is not lost. It's not over. Tell your neighbor, it's not over. Tell your neighbor, it's not over.
Wow. Come on, celebrate Jesus, church. Let's celebrate God for... I don't know what to say. It's beyond amazing. Come on, we can celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we stand, please, on our feet? Praise the Lord. I believe that the Lord has spoken to us. Even today, I realize that I'm understanding why I married her. I understand every day more and more and more and more. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Especially the young girls that are here, and we have those issues with our mothers. We feel we don't flow with them. I think you heard it firsthand. And I, you know, usually when something like this is happening, I try to put myself, how do I fit in, and what is God saying to me? And God has told me quite a number of things through Lady Pastor Pumi's message. And I'm blessed. And I believe that you are blessed too. Amen. I believe that you are blessed too. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. And first of all, let's thank God for this word that has come. Just thank God for speaking to us, for helping us today. Come on, open your mouth and start appreciating God. Come on. Just start thanking God for helping us, for speaking to us, for blessing us. Come on, go ahead. Lord, thank you. If something came across you in the story of Lady Pastor Pumi, if something came across you in what she was sharing, and the revelation that the Lord gave her from the moment she started preaching till she left, come on, if something stood out for you, why don't you just thank God right now? Father, we thank you. Father, we appreciate you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for using Lady Pastor Pumi this morning to answer questions, to help us understand some of the things that we are going through or in our relationship with either our father or our mother. And then this morning, you've answered a lot of questions. Father, we just say thank you. We just say thank you. We honor you in the name of Jesus. We appreciate you for your grace, for your mercy, for your help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are very grateful. We are very grateful. And I feel that the healing power of God is here this morning. You know, when God speaks to us, it's because He wants to heal us. Why don't you pray and say, Lord, heal my heart. Restore my relationship with my mother. Restore my relationship with my dad. Some of us have never seen our mom. You've never seen your dad. Or you are graced to see your mother every day, but you see more her weaknesses, her mistakes, than you do her good works. So, Father, restore my relationship with my mother today. Father, I pray for the healing in my relationship with my mother. Come on, begin to pray right now. Ask God to heal your relationship with your mother, that God will restore it. God will restore it. God will heal it. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh yes, oh yes. Lima koleva la branda, chevre sa kole branda. Father, heal that relationship right now. Take away the afflictions. Father, take away the pain. Father, take away the hurts. Father, take away the pain. Many of us are not relating well with our mothers. We always see what they do wrong. We are unable to see the right. We just focus on the wrong. We don't know the whole story. We don't know what they went through. We don't understand the whole thing. We refuse to judge them this morning. We refuse to accuse them this morning. We choose to thank you that at least we have a mother. At least I have somebody by my side that didn't abort me, that didn't reject me, that did what she could with all she had. Come on, somebody, be grateful this morning. Shebre kasole mandereba, e akente vele pala shebre kantole magaramana. Why don't you say, Lord, thank you for my mother. Lord, thank you for my mother. She might not be the perfect mother, but who cares? And who is the judge to say who is perfect as a mother? You gave her to me. I'm grateful for her life. I'm grateful for her life. Come on, thank God for your mother. Come on, thank God for your mother. Maybe you didn't even wish her happy Mother's Day today, but God is healing your heart. The power of God is healing your heart because God wants you to be blessed. The Bible says, honor your mother and you shall be blessed. If you keep dishonoring your mom, if you keep dishonoring your father, you cannot be blessed. Come and receive that grace this morning. And maybe some of us are here, you actually feel you are hurt because of your mother. There are things your mother said. The mother of Jabez called her a pain. And Jabez never understood, why did my mother call me pain? But maybe because your mother was going through pain and she didn't want to forget that pain. Maybe you are in pain because of how things are with your mother. God wants to heal you this morning. God wants to heal you this morning. God wants to heal you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word that heals us. Oh, yes, Lord. What a refreshing presence of God that is coming through those stories of the life of Lady Pastor Pumi as she relates her upbringing, and that the thing that you experience sometimes in a marriage didn't start in the marriage. You actually came to that marriage carrying a lot already, and you never had a chance to heal from those things. And sometimes those are the very things that cause the marriage to not work. Father, I pray for every mother and every future mother, because those that are here this morning that are not yet mothers will be mothers tomorrow by your grace. And they will be experiencing in that marriage something that started as they are young as they are right now. I pray for every mother and every future mother, every father and every future father this morning. Father, heal the afflictions. Heal the rejections. Take away the pain. Introduce us to your true love for us. That love that Leah discovered after she gave birth to Judah. May you introduce it to it early, Father. Now I pray that the Holy Ghost will start working in your heart. Now come and lift your hands, everybody. I pray that the Holy Spirit will start working in every heart this morning. I pray for the mighty work of the Holy Spirit to be manifest in your life as you walk out of these doors today. May your love for your mother be restored. May your love for your dad be restored. May your love for your stepmom, your stepdad, your anyone that has played that role, may that love be restored. And boy, if your mother is still alive, please, I beg you, do something about it. Do something about it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Now you can take your hands down, all eyes closed and all heads bowed. If you are here this morning and you want to surrender your heart to Jesus, you heard what Lady Pastor Pumi said. She said, if there is any beauty in her, it must have been Jesus. One thing I know about Jesus is that he takes mud and turns it into diamond dust. Takes trash and turns them into treasures, mess into messages. He's good at it. Maybe you are here this morning and you feel unloved. You feel afflicted. You hurt. But going that direction that you've been going will not help the situation. One thing else that Lady Pastor Pumi said is that God was aware of everything that Leah was going through. I want to submit to you that God is aware of everything that you are going through. And this morning, he's saying to you, come to me. All you who are weary burdened, I will give you rest. How long are you going to carry this burden, this yoke in your spirit? God wants to take it from you. The presence of God is here this morning. God wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. I'm going to count up to three. If you are saying, Pastor, I want to give Jesus a chance with my life. I want to start afresh with Jesus. I need Him to become my Lord and my Savior. I want to surrender my life to Him today. I want Him to rule over me, to take charge of my life. I want to trust Jesus with my life. If that is you, I'm going to count up to three. When you hear three, please don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. I'll lead you in a prayer of commitment and consecration to God. And God will help you. The same way He helped Lady Pastor Pumi. God will help you. One. Two. Three. Raise your right hand. I need Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Raise it high. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I need Jesus. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. You are here also this morning. Maybe things have really gone bad between you and Jesus. And you don't know how to get it back in order. You want to, but you don't know how to. It just keeps getting worse week after week. Week after week, it gets worse. When you think it's going to be a better week with Jesus, it gets a bad week with Jesus. I want to give you a first step towards the right direction. I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand when I say three. You're saying, Pastor, I want you to recommit my heart to Jesus. I know He will never throw me away. I know He's always waiting for me. But I was trying to fix myself, but I realized I can't. That's why we need Him. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus, to recommit yourself to Jesus. He's here. He's here. And He can help us. He can heal us. He can save us. He can make us strong. He can bring direction in our lives. His light can shine in our darkness. He's real, people. Jesus is real. And He's here. At the count of three, Pastor, I want you to recommit my life to Jesus. I'm going to give you that opportunity and I'll pray with you. All I need you to do is to raise your right hand high and I'll pray with you. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. God bless you. 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 Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. I'm going to give one last chance. Maybe you came to church. You don't even know why you ended up here this morning. It's Jesus who is calling you. It's not Pastor. Jesus is saying, I see your affliction. I see how you are trying, but you are not getting it right. Let me help you. Allow me on your boat. Allow me on your boat. So I want to give you one more chance. You wanted to raise your hand. You are not sure. This is my last call to you. Brother, sister, you want Jesus to come into your life. This is your last chance. I'm going to count again. When you hear three, raise it up. Give Jesus that chance to hold your hand and to pull you out of those waters. Like Peter, raise your hand up and Jesus will hold it and He will cause the sinking to stop. One, two, three, raise it up. God bless you. 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 Thank you so much. Now, all of us that raise our hands, the first time, the second time, the third time, even right now, we're going to do something. We're going to take a step of faith towards Jesus. He says in Matthew 28 verse 11, come to me. Come to me. So I'm taking a step to say, Lord Jesus, I'm actually coming to you. I'm not going to Pastor. Pastor is just a representation, but I'm going to Jesus. So at the count, now that you have raised your hand, I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand, please come to me so that we can pray together. Come on, put your hands together for them, church, as they are coming. Oh, yes. Come on, let's celebrate them as they come. Put your hands together. Come.
If you raise your hand, please come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is your chance. Make your way to the stage. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Make your way here. Make your way here. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Come. Come and receive salvation. Come and receive his blessing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. You will notice that some of them are crying. That's the power of God. That's God. God still talks to people. If you open your heart, God will talk to you. I mean, you will ask yourself, why will Lady Pastor Fumi say all those things? Why? Because God is talking to you. God is telling you, you are not the only one who is going through such a time. There are other people that are going through it. And if God has helped them, God can help you. You don't need to continue sinking. You can stretch your hands and say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Thank you, guys. Can we raise our two hands to the heavens? Just your two hands like this. And I'm going to ask you to repeat these words after me. Just say them from the bottom of your heart. That's all. Just mean it. That's what I'm trying to say. Just mean what you are saying. That's all. If you mean it, that's all it takes. Words are very powerful. Don't joke with them. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Yes, I surrender my life. It took me a while, but here I am. My hands lifted up as a sign of surrender. I am a sinner. I need your grace. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Save my soul. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose on the third day. I believe if I give you my life, you will write my name in the book of life. So Jesus, here it is. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Take the whole of me. Change my life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, for forgiving me, for saving me. And give me chance to make things right with my mother or my father or whoever is taking care of me. Give me chance to get things right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you right now. Your grace brought these people to your house today. Oh Lord, let your grace sustain them in your house. No looking back. Father, all the chains breaking this morning. All the chains, they are breaking. They are breaking. All the chains breaking. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. All the chains are breaking in the name of Jesus. And the power of God is saving every soul. And the Holy Ghost is making everything new in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for these souls. They shall not go to hell. They shall go to life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.